This is CliffCentral.com.
Well, you're going to have a drink because it's Friday. And because it's Friday, usually on a Thursday we get to speak to him, but yesterday he was otherwise busy with a whole lot of stuff, so this morning we get to catch up with Justice Malala and the Burning Platform, and we get to cover all kinds of interesting things. The replacement for Thuli Madonsela, the Auditor General's report, the lists mayhem, and even violence in KZN. All of that and more with Justice Malala right now.
Burning Platform, fired up by Nando's on cliffcentral.com.
So, good morning, Justice. I hope you're well. How's your roadshow going?
I'm good and happy, and I saw you guys, Anthea, talking about the possibility of a downgrade. And yeah. So I'm bigging myself up in my heart that we mustn't be downgraded. We mustn't be downgraded. So, you know, today I'm keeping a positive mood. How are you guys?
Well, you know what they say. You gotta hope for the best but prepare for the worst.
That's what people like me tell people who ask me for advice. But, you know, sometimes I just don't even want to prepare for the worst. I'm just gonna keep hope and forget the rest.
All right, so let's begin. I don't know if you want to start in KZN because there's something quite dramatic that's happened. Three leaders have been killed in 48 hours this week in the ANC in KZN. What's going on there?
There's been a low-level war, if you will, going on in this province. There's a war inside the ANC. There's a war inside the tripartite alliance. And then there's a war for positions. Over the months, over the past year, there's been quite a few incidents of branch leaders, branch secretaries, SACP-linked leaders being shot and killed. It's a feature, it's a development that reminds me of KZN in the 1980s and 1990s, when at that time ANC leaders were being killed off. You'd be in a village. You'd be in a village in Bryanston, where you guys are right now. That village would be divided between ANC and IFP, and there'd be some members of your family who are IFP and some members who are ANC. And you'd find extraordinary things happening, like members of the same family at war with each other on different sides of the divide, and suddenly fighting. And so now, the ANC has largely consolidated its power in KZN, its master and commander. But what's happened is that the ANC and the SACP have been at loggerheads on issues of corruption and so forth and so forth. And you've seen people basically beginning to be killed off. It's just sort of over the past few months really become a big issue in this province. And so what happened this week, you saw just on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, people just dying off, just people being killed off in the province. All of them branch leaders. The ANC is in shock here. I met some ANC people yesterday, and I said, "Guys, what's going on? This sounds like war." Mm-hmm. And basically it is war, but no one seems to know exactly when, exactly how, who is fighting who and why. But it's internal ANC politics that seems to have gone terribly poisonous in the past few months, particularly with the run-up to the election.
Just
a bigger thing that has more meaning here is the fact that the provincial leadership is divided. There is there are people who are, how shall I put it, who are supporters of Peter Zigalala. Peter Zigalala is a big supporter of President Zuma. Mm-hmm. He's now the chair of the ANC there. And then there are people who support Senzo Mthuli, who is the premier who was kicked out 2 weeks ago. And those divisions are what's coming up. I also want to say it's very nasty what's happening. If you think about it, the first person who died on Tuesday, a man called Simon Mwabe, mm-hmm. He resigned sort of suddenly as the chief financial officer of Moi River, Moi Mbofana municipality. He was taking his kids to school, right? Mm-hmm. And he gets shot and killed in Pietermaritzburg in Eden Bay. That is an area that was well known for political killings in KwaZulu-Natal in the 1980s and early 90s. Another ANC leader, a branch chairman, was killed also in Pietermaritzburg on Wednesday afternoon after he left the meeting. So he went to the ANC meeting and then boom, he was killed. So you know, there is something going on in this province that I think we should be standing up and asking what's going on. If you think about the guy who was killed after leaving the punch meeting, the ANC punch meeting, he was shot more than 10 times. Clearly, he was targeted. And there is, yeah.
What do the police do when they hear about this? Is there any attempt to arrest people to investigate this, or does it just get written off?
This is the interesting part. The police keep on saying we are investigating, we're getting to the bottom of it. But no one has been arrested for any of these killings. They happen, and no one gets arrested. It's just boom. Keep going. Life goes on as usual. So this, for me, is another aspect of it. That where are the police? Where are the people who should be arresting the perpetrators? They are not there, and it's cause for huge concern. It's cause for massive concern when that happens. When essentially no one is being arrested. No one is being found to. If you think about the guy who was taking his kids to school, that's traumatized. And if the perpetrators are not found, they are scared, and they will never see justice. Those kids are scarred for life, but the community is scarred for life, knowing that you can do that sort of thing and get away with it. Given that there have been so many of these killings, and you know the number is not really tabulated properly, so. I can't give you a number that says over the past year there's been 24 killings, but there have been many, and they keep on coming up again and again. About 3 months ago, there was a weekend when 3 SA Communist Party leaders were killed in the same weekend at funerals of those who had been killed and so forth. So there is something here, and I'm amazed that political leaders, the police, rightly as you ask, I don't seem to be taking any steps to say, stop it now. We need this to come to an end.
It's terrifying that this kind of thing can happen in a democracy, an open, free society like ours in the 21st century. It's just outrageous that you can have mafia-style hits being taken out on civilians. These are members of civil society. It's outrageous.
But you know, I mean, I don't know what we are saying about this democracy. If you look at the reports of the cash for post scandal that the Ministry of Education has been on about, here in this province, there have been school principals killed because they accepted a job at the school from the department, but Fatu allegedly did not want them in that position, or people aligned to the union didn't want them in that position. And the allegations are that they got killed off. Now, when you are a school principal and you get killed because, no, you're not the right guy for the position, a union member was supposed to get the position, it becomes pretty depressing what the culture of violence is all about, particularly in this province. So, you know, this is massively concerning. It's not just the ANC, SACP, ANC internal fighting. It's also the alliance partners, the trade unions that are deep in that kind of fighting. I think it's a warning signal to the ANC leadership here that something is not right and they need to fix it.
Yeah, something's out of control. It's like taxi warfare. In fact,
taxi. It's exactly that. It has elements of it when you have people just essentially snipered off like that.
Well, it's interesting. Avi, who listens to us from New York, said, just like the taxi bus murders, there was another bus shot on Tuesday in Soweto. It's obviously other buses, but these cases are never resolved.
No, I mean, that's another, you know, I'm interested in the minor debate going on about, oh, you know, if you burn infrastructure and so forth, you will get a 30-year sentence and so forth. And that's good and well, but think about it. Is deterrent the fact that there's a big sentence or that you will be caught? And so for me, the big thing is, if we're not catching the people who are responsible for these three murders, for these bus shootings, for these other outrages and so forth, then you can say, oh, it will be 50 years that you're going to get. But if you're never going to be found and arrested, that's a meaningless number.
Mm.
And so, you know, we need to make up our minds about, are we going to catch the criminals, or are we just making noises about, oh, you know, we have a big sentence and we're going to show these people. Nothing's going to happen. You need a police service that will investigate and find the perpetrator. That's the key.
All right, moving further afield, we've got a couple of urgent things we need to address. First of all, the Auditor General has made a report, and we need to find a replacement for Tulima Donsela. How's that going in both of those?
Yeah, I mean, both are linked. I find it interesting. So basically, how shall I put it? Basically, you know, Tulima Donsela, and we touched on this last week, but the process has started now. We know who the chair of the committee that's going to lead the process to appoint her will be. Her name is Dr. Makosi Khoza. She's from here in KZN. Mm-hmm. She is a widely respected MP. The opposition has seats on the committee. Julius Malema is one of the committee members. Venus Breitenbach from the DA, another member, and it's 11 MPs who are going to make the determination about who the next person is. And so I think, you know, South Africans can't fold their arms and say we didn't know, or who is this person who's been selected and so forth. I really think a lot of us sit back and say, oh, you know, I don't know what to do, what's my role in society. I think this is a chance for South Africans to really agitate for a person that is respected across the board, not just by certain political parties. I think it's a chance for people to really become activists about who the next public protector is. So I put that on the diary for us to talk about, because I want to remind people, go onto the Corruption Watch website. That NGO has started a process to open up this conversation to make sure that people are not elected in parliament and their names go to President Zuma and you don't know. We can know and we can influence that process. So I'm very keen for people to get on with it and do what they can to support, to show that, that there are many, many amazing people who can replace the public protect. I hope that will happen. Kimi Makweti and the Auditor General's report. I just want to say, you know, for me, it's been interesting that more municipalities are seemingly receiving clean audits. That means that they are not stealing or not, let's not use such a strong word, but a lot of people are not being lax with finances as much as they used to be. And I think that's a good thing. That said, we still, it was interesting what Des Van Rooyen, who was asked about, you know, what are you going to do about all these terrible, terrible expenditure, bad expenditure that goes on in this municipality. And yeah, he banged on about, oh, no, you know, you people are always negative. Look at the good things. Look at the fact that, you know, clean audit increased from 13 to 54 in the last five financial years. We were, oh, you guys are negative. Well, you know, journalists write about what people do. And what people do is that they are stealing money hand over fist in these municipalities. And, you know, journalists will ask ask those questions. So I find that I find that I find it disingenuous that he actually said that, as if people shouldn't ask about the bad stuff at all.
Well, it's interesting. We were talking about this yesterday because Mabs gave us the list of which municipalities are the, you know, have lost the most money, and Nelson Mandela Bay municipality was right at the top, and then there's quite a big gap. And the next one is Ekurhuleni, which is substantially smaller by, you know, sort of 4% of what, you know, the Nelson Mandela Bay municipality has lost. And it's clear that in the Nelson Mandela Bay municipality, what's happened is the ANC know they're on their way out. So they're just pillaging whatever they can. Slash and burn, right?
Yeah. I mean, there are two things going on there. That's if you will, the goalkeeper, the ANC goalkeepers, there are people trying to stop the pillaging, and there are people who are pillaging because it's quick, fill your boots because we are about to be kicked out.
Yeah, exactly. Take what you can.
Take what you can.
Right.
It's a push and pull going on there, and you know, for me, I think this election would be great for PE because whoever comes in knows that. The people of PE have had enough, you know. They've had enough and they want responsible government. And so I think things will improve in PE, whether it's the DA, whether it's the ANC, which is really in trouble in PE, whether it's a coalition government. But I think things could be pleasant in PE in the future, but it will depend on how people will see the result of the August 3 election there. But it will be interesting. Anyway, I think we should say it's great that people are improving, but there are serious problems when the regular expenditure is 14.7 billion rand. And that's because municipalities are not following the rules. So there's work to be done and they don't follow the rules. And so my cousin makes it onto the payroll or onto the tender. It's something that we need to fix. It's not just a report by the Auditor General. It needs to be fixed.
Justice, I see that the president is planning to make an appearance at the Gauteng ANC, but he also seems to be able to just swat aside all these discussions around recall, around the Gupta probe. It seems that he's really entrenching his position. Would you carry that line?
Yeah, Guedamantash had a press conference this week. The ANC had a press conference post its big meeting this past weekend where it looked at candidates list for these local elections. It looked at all kinds of things. But our sense was that President Zuma came out and said that the branch members, the branches have come out overwhelmingly in support of President Zuma to stay on as president of the ANC. The second thing he said was that of all the people who've made allegations about state capture and about the role of the Guptas in state capture, only one person, Themba Maseko, was prepared to put his allegations in writing, and he did so. And so the ANC said, well, it's become a fruitless exercise. We're no longer following this thing up. Now, for me, there are several things going on here. One, with the branches saying President Zuma, they accept his apology and it's all good and it's time to move on. I think basically whoever in the ANC had thought President Zuma would go, the proposal put on the table, such as the Gauteng ANC saying President Zuma must reflect, that's all out the window. President Zuma is back, and he's in charge of the ANC full and center. Anyone who thinks that President Zuma is weak needs to look at what happened in that meeting. And essentially, it was President Zuma saying, I am in charge of this thing. Don't touch me. You can't touch me. So the talk of a recall, the talk of any kind of renaissance in the ANC is basically out the window. President Zuma is in charge of that party. And many might say, how does he do it? I think it's because it is now clear for those who are against President Zuma that President Zuma is fully capable of breaking up the ANC, taking half or more than half of it out of the ANC and starting another party. And so they now have to beg him to stay so that the ANC doesn't break up. And I think what Guedamantash has said, that the branches said for the sake of unity in the ANC, not because he's right, not because of whatever, for the sake of unity, the ANC has to stay with President Zuma. So he's fully in charge.
So he's basically ransomed the princess, and he's threatened to cut off her head if they don't pay him the ransom.
Thank you very much.
This is old school. This is Robin Hood tactics, right?
Absolutely Robin Hood, but he's managed to do it, and he's gotten away with it. So President Zuma is fully in charge now. And whatever discussion there is about, he should go, I think it's pretty much fruitless. It's not going to go anywhere. What I found interesting is the decision not to go ahead with an investigation of any sort into the allegations of what the Guptas did. Huh. And if you think about it, what does that say to Mgcebisi Jonas? He's the Deputy Minister of Finance. He held a press conference saying, these people offered me the finance minister's job. He is now, basically, the ANC says, we trust you to be running this multi-billion rand state entity, that is the finance ministry. But we don't trust you when you say people offered you this job, and we're just going to ignore what you said. What does it say to all the other people who said, we've been offered things by the Gupta family? What does it say about the ANC that it just basically says, we're going to ignore what our own people say about what has happened here? And crucially, what does it say when your own people say, we are so scared about what's going to happen to us, we're not going to put all these things in writing. So out of the seven people who had made allegations, only one said, I'll put them in writing. All the others said, you know what, I don't want to be followed up by either that family or powerful people inside the NC, so I'm not going to write this thing down. I'll just speak to you, Gwede, and face to face. And I think that's scary.
It's terrifying.
That, you know, I can't trust my own comrades and my own leaders, so I won't write it down. I won't write it down. And that's extraordinary for the ANC. And so I think that's quite a significant moment in the ANC's history, that it basically abandons what is, I think, a crucial investigation. It's worth noting that in the Daily Maverick today, and Ranjini Munisamy, who's been on the show lots of times, has written a piece pointing out that it's not like the issues that have been ventilated about the state capture by the Guptas is not going on. She writes about an incident where Gwede Mantashe, Solima Faila of the SACP, Bala Kambete were at a meeting in the Northern Cape in April, where the ANC leaders there told them that, oh, you guys don't know that the election is going to be in August, on August 3. And they said, what? They said, yeah, no. The Gupta family told us that the election is going to be on August 3. So that's how we know. This was said to Gwede by ANC leaders, by one of the ANC leaders, Zamani Saw, and to Solima Paini. So this, Gwede Mantashe has clear evidence of what has happened, and nothing happens. Nothing happens. So you, me, even ANC leaders like the ANC chairperson, Tarek Abete, like the ANC Secretary General, Gwede Mantashe, they knew that the Gupta family gets information way before everyone else, and they can't do anything else about it. So, that's the extent of it. And the ANC saying there's nothing we can do about it. I think it's a sad day in our democracy.
Yeah, there seems to be all-round capitulation to political power and influence at the moment, and it's very, very scary. I wonder what you think of the fact that the president is going to gate crash the Gauteng ANC's party, their election manifesto launch for the province. He probably won't feel very welcome there, but I don't think he cares. He's got a very thick skin, right?
He's got a very thick skin. You'll remember what happened to him at the Mandela funeral, where he was booed. In that stadium, there have been other incidents. So it will be an interesting day when he enters that stadium. Whether he'll get booed or what will happen, I don't know for sure. But I think the president is basically saying, I'm going to put my stamp on the ANC Gauteng. I'm going to show them that I am the president of the ANC.
Sure.
To be fair to him, he has been attending the provincial manifesto launches. He was in his stronghold, the Northwest, the other day. He's been going to others. But you know, if you look on the M1, there are this massive posters of Paul Mashatile. There are posters for this event tomorrow. And there's also pictures of Jacob Zuma. And the pictures of President Zuma look very unflattering, whereas the pictures of Paul Mashatile are just gorgeous. He looks energetic. He looks like a leader. You have to stop and say, what do these pictures communicate? You just have to see them, and you'll think, no, Jacob Zuma, he looks lonely in the pictures, in the posters. And Paul Mashatile looks totally, fully in charge. So, you know, the body language is not great just from that perspective.
Well, Justice, thank you very much. We will catch up with you next Thursday.
Super. I'll see you in studio next week.
Thank you very much. Justice Malala, The Burning Platform, on cliffcentral.com.
Burning Platform, fired up by Nando's on cliffcentral.com.